Yes, you're listening to Open Mic Friday, Law and Gospel. I'm Tom Baker on this February the 17th, 2017. No, 2007. Boy, oh boy, have I got the wrong date or not? Yes, this is the 17th, of course, 2017. And it just so happens to be the 17th day of February. It's Open Mic Friday, which means you can call in with any question you might have on your mind in the St. Louis area. The number is 821-0850. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. And you may want to be talking about myths. Myths, yes. I've been talking about that for the last 2 days, yesterday with Wes Reimnitz. What is a myth? A myth is a figment of your imagination rather than recognizing the reality of what is really true. Myths come about because of the product of man's emotions or maybe imagination. A myth is a widely held but false belief. For example, evolution is a myth. It's clear from the Bible that God did not create the world through evolution, but in six 24-hour days, he created the world. But myths are considered to be teachings or a figment of the imagination of history to make a point. So it doesn't really matter what Genesis says about how God created the world. It is a myth, and the only point is that God did create the world. But how he did it, we don't know. On the other hand, I had a professor at the seminary who thought that Jesus had risen from the dead bodily was a myth. He said, yeah, that's what the Bible teaches, but if we found the bones of Jesus, my faith wouldn't be shaken because I believe he was risen from the dead spiritually. And therefore, his body is still in the grave. Yeah, that's actually a professor I had who taught that. So myths are really ideas that are not true. Maybe you want to call about that. I could have waited for this next week because beginning Monday, we're going to be talking about the transfiguration of our Lord for the following Sunday, February the 26th. And listen what 2 Peter chapter 1 says. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And what he's talking about, he says later on, we ourselves heard his very voice born from heaven. That was the Father who said, this is my beloved Son, for we were with him on the holy mountain. Now, when I was at the seminary, the vast majority of the professors there believed in what was called the historical critical method, which meant that you criticize the history of the Bible, trying to find out what it really meant. And you were not really supposed to just believe the history because it was written by people who were trying to make a point, not the history, but instead about Jesus. So a lot of what we were told was mythical in the Bible, not really historically true. And of course, we disagreed with that. And fortunately, there was a division in the faculty. Many of them walked off the campus, not able to return. And that was the number one story in religious news service for a long, long time. Okay. So if you'd like to talk to me, don't hesitate. We've got somebody on the line we're going to be going to in a moment. Numbers are 1-800-730-2727. And so we're going to go talk right now with Rich. Hi, Rich. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. How can I help you?
I have a question, Tom, that I would like you to explain from a Law and Gospel, and it's from Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Yes. I'm just going to ask you one question, Rich.
Yes, sir.
When you forgive the sins of others, do you do it perfectly?
No.
Well, then, that seems to say that God's not going to forgive you, doesn't it?
It seems to say that, yes.
And I think your question, you know, I consider that to be the hardest passage in the entire Bible to interpret properly. And I'll tell you why. Is because God does not permit to give you the forgiveness of sins when you don't forgive. If you commit murder and you repent, God forgives you. If you don't forgive someone and you're sorry about not being able to do it, God says, nope, I won't forgive you. So how do we get around this? Because that would mean nobody would really go to heaven because nobody forgives properly. So you want to hear the long gospel approach?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You already know the answer in your heart. I'm just going to try and bring it out from you by asking you a question. When God says, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive, is that law or gospel?
That would be law.
Excellent. Now, can anybody obey the law perfectly?
No, sir. With our old nature, it's always tainting our new nature.
Now, normally, well said, the gospel is that you will receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins. But this is one of the passages in the Bible where the forgiveness of sins, it will not be made available to you. So, law means we can't do it. Gospel means God takes care of the problem for us. But normally, we think of the forgiveness of sins as the way that God takes care of our problems. But you see, you have two kinds of sins, Rick, or Rich. The first one are sins that you do. We call them sins of commission. What are the other kinds of sins?
The sins of omission, where we fail to do what we should.
Oh, that is excellent. Now, for sins of commission, God has given us the forgiveness of sins. Because when we commit a sin, we ought to be punished for it. So Jesus takes the punishment for us. But in regard to sins of omission, and you said that really well, these are good works that for some reason we can't do perfectly. And that's because of our old Adam, and forgiving someone else is part of that problem. What gift does God give us, or what did Jesus do in order to take care of our sins of omission? Remember when he was on earth, did he ever sin?
No.
No. And he perfectly obeyed the law. Guess what? He transfers to you that perfect obedience. And we call it, and I'll start it off and you finish it with, it's called the robe of
righteousness.
You've got it. You see, there are two gifts that God gives us. For sins of commission, from a law gospel point of view, he gives us the forgiveness of sins. But for sins of omission, there is a glorious exchange that takes place when you come to faith in Jesus. He takes all of your sins, and he also gives you not only the forgiveness of sins, but for the sins of omission, he dresses you in his robe of righteousness. And that is found in Isaiah and Revelation. So, the law says you can't do it. It's impossible. Sins of omission and commission you commit. So, God takes care of your problem, and for the sins of omission, he dresses you in his robe of righteousness. In fact, Rich, you are so righteous in God's sight that he permits you to come forward and receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ in the Holy Sacrament, which nobody in the Old Testament was enabled to do because they were under the Old Covenant. But the New Covenant provides you with the gift of the robe of righteousness so that you stand before God totally righteous in his sight because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Is that helpful?
Very helpful. Would that be then considered justification, what you've just shared with me, the robe of righteousness?
Absolutely. When we are justified, which means in God's sight, we are declared to be holy. Remember, he writes through the apostles to the churches, to the saints at, and whether Rome or Corinth, and then he blasts them for their sins, but he still considers them saints because Christianity teaches we are not righteous because of the works we do, but because of the pronouncement of God declaring us righteous since we have faith, which means trust in the promises of the gospel. That's why God considers us righteous, even though we are 100% sinner.
And the faith is given to us as a gift.
Absolutely, yes. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you, says Jesus Christ. And Paul in Ephesians makes clear, we don't boast of our works because we are saved by grace through faith in the promises of Jesus Christ. You've got it, Josh.
Well, that was extremely helpful, and I certainly enjoy listening to your show, and of course, we'll continue to do so. Thank you so much.
God bless you, and we're just going to move on to our next individual, and that's Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
I have one thing that I wanted to ask you. You were speaking the other day about the marriage of same-sex people.
Yes.
My question is, what about people who, even though they don't believe in this, that they embrace these people as their friends, as people that they want to associate with?
Well, let me ask you this question. I think you already have the answer. Did Jesus, would he have associated with people who were involved with same-sex marriage?
Yes, he would. All the worst of the earth, I think.
Yes, remember, that's why the Pharisees crucified him. He was associated. Look at Luke 15, the first verses. They're really angry at him because he's associated with sinners and tax collectors, and he spoke with prostitutes. We know one of them became a believer in him. We ought to be associating with all kinds of people in order to help them understand their sinfulness for the purpose of proclaiming to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I would not permit a couple who was married, like two men or two women, to join the church, because to become in fellowship with the Christian church, you need to repent of your sins. And it would be very obvious that if they thought what they were doing was right, that they therefore would not join the church. But I have to tell you, when I teach adult instruction, there are a number of times that these people do not understand Christianity properly, especially if they've never been affiliated with a Christian church. Does that mean I'm going to walk out of the office and say, I don't want to talk to you anymore? No. So associating with them and bringing them into the fellowship are two different things. I recently showed the confirmation class at Trinity Orchard Farm a gentleman who was reading two letters pretending it was a father to his gay son. And the first letter said, I and your mother are really disappointed in you. We do not want you to visit the home again. We don't really want to receive any of your birthday gifts to us. We're sending them back to you because of your lifestyle is contrary to the word of God. And then he wrote another letter from a different father who said, son, we're really disappointed in your lifestyle, but we want you to know we still love you. We still want you to come home. We want to talk to you anytime that you need us. We're here for you. But when you come home, even if you bring your male friend, you will not be able to sleep, of course, together in the same bedroom. And we expect you to join with us in prayer at our meals. And also when we go to church, we would expect you to be. But the point we're making is we don't want to divide our relationship with you. We want to be with you and take the opportunity to talk with you when you want to talk. Now, don't you like the second father better than the first? And that's what Jesus is to you, Marilyn. Marilyn, you are a terrible sinner who deserves nothing but temporal and eternal punishment, just like me. And yet God associates with both of us because God so loved not the Lutherans, God so loved not the Christians, God so loved the
world.
Well said, Marilyn. See, you already know this in your heart.
Well, it was just something that actually popped up in my mind, and I thought, well, you know, I know some people out there.
Yep.
It does bother me, but...
Well, if you saw a blind person walking down the sidewalk and there was a hole in the sidewalk that the sewer people had put in and he is unaware of it, would you yell to him, watch out for the hole?
Probably not. I'd probably go to help him.
Well, or go to help him, yes. You wouldn't just stand there and let him fall into the hole.
No.
Well, that's our relationship to people who are living in lifestyles that are contrary to the word of God. If we truly love them, realizing the love that God has given to us, then we want to warn them. And you don't warn them by saying, okay, I'm not going to ever talk to you. I don't want to affiliate with you and this sort of thing. No, we would affiliate with them, but we do make a distinction when they want to join the fellowship of the church that they cannot do that while they still are living in unrepentant sin. And by God's grace, a number of people who once believed in homosexuality have now been cured of that addiction and are living proper lifestyles in God's sight because of a Christian who spoke to them about God's holy word. Okay, thank you so much for calling. Anybody else? We just got a few moments left. 8210850 or 1-800-730-2727. I'll tell you what I would say to somebody who's living a lifestyle contrary to the word of God. I would tell them about KFUO, that they ought to be listening to a radio station that consistently is preaching the word of God in these areas. And who knows what God is going to do? I remember after the death of my son, Philip, a number of years ago, I went through a time when we were obviously grieving and such. But I remember the first time I turned on KFUO after the death of my son. It was about 4 days later, and I was coming back from the restaurant that we were going to be taking people to after the funeral. I turned on KFUO, and I was listening to the Bible study, and guess what verse they were talking about? They were talking about my son's confirmation verse. I mean, don't tell me that God doesn't prepare us even in our times of grief and sorrow. I mean, what were the odds of that, that it just so happened? And the Bible study, you know, they go through a book of the Bible, and so each day there's a different Bible verse. And who knew that when I turned that on, I would be listening to the confirmation verse that Philip had been given. So we need to recognize that God keeps his promises. That there's nothing that you are going to be going through that God does not prepare you for. And so that's why I suggest, tell them about KFUO. We've got bumper stickers that you can put on your car, KFUO. And we need to get more people doing that so that they can listen, because who knows when they turn it on what they're going to be listening to. They can be listening to a Bible study or somehow how the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is working in social ministry in parochial schools, in high schools, in college-age students, etc. And also recently, one of the programs was a place where, are you retired? You need a place to live? Well, there are Lutheran residences that are just wonderful, and you can hear about them. And then you can also hear Issues, Etc., and other programs where they deal with issues that we're dealing with each and every day. And who knows, when somebody turns that on, AM 850, how they will find God's Word. Now, you may have a friend living in California. Well, when I was down there for a seminar and I was talking to people who were making a movie, and we were part of that, it's called One Hit from Home. You can Google that and you'll see one of my former members who's the actress in that movie. And it's just a wonderful movie from a truly proper Lutheran point of view. But be that as it may, I'm told that a lot of those folks that were involved in the movie continue to listen on their iPhones, etc., to Law and Gospel. How can they do that? Well, they do it through the internet. And so what's the internet that you go to? You go to KFUO.org, KFUO.org. And for example, my programs, you can listen to months of them if you so desire. And other programs also, like the Bible study, are on there, previous issues of it, broadcasts of it. So KFUO is really important because it's the only radio station I'm aware of that has a consistent message of proper Christianity. That's why at the end of the program, we encourage you to donate. Law and Gospel does pay KFUO to be on the air. We're short about $2,000, and we have 2 months to pay that. So if you're all interested in helping out, listen to the address where you can send your money. But if you want it to be an IRS deductible contribution, don't make it out to Law and Gospel. Make it out to Concordia Mission Society. And then when you send that money to us with the address that you're going to hear, and you note on the check Concordia Mission Society and at the bottom put Law and Gospel, guess what? KFUO gets that money. And you get a tax deduction, and then we can continue on the air as Law and Gospel. I am Tom Baker. You can also go to my website if you have any questions. And the website is Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Now, we have a number of older individuals that don't use the computer, so you can phone me toll-free, 1-877-267-1962. That's 1-877-267-1962. And I get those messages off the computer, so I probably won't be able to answer the phone because I'm rarely home working at Trinity Orchard Farm right now. But be that as it may, you can leave a message and I'll get back to you. We can also encourage you to tell others about KFUO because, as I said, they will show that the myths that they have about their salvation are wrong. The greatest myth that people have, and I'm convinced of this, is they think that their works will make a difference whether they go to heaven or hell. But as we said to Rich, you can't obey the law. It's impossible. So God takes care of that problem for you. And he does that by having your sins forgiven and then dressing you in the robe of righteousness. So both your sins of commission and your sins of omission are covered. I'm Tom Baker. Monday, how many people went up on Mount Sinai? Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.